When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, and guess what?
What it do, boom.
It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom.
Yeah, I don't make
then any add noise. In Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for free shipping and 20% off. Is it K100, by the way, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To tell you a little about the products, this is our favorite product, by the way, and it's one of our biggest sellers because people have heard about this, like we talk about all the time. But the Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is a one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. There's everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling Performance Package Plus Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and Ultra Premium Deodorant. I know a lot of wrestling fans could use that. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. And the Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer is my favorite, and the Weed Whacker nose and hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. There's also a 4000K LED light, so you can light the way just like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now that you have groomed candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the Platinum Package of shower products. All of Manscaped's shower gear is sulfate-free, vegan. Joe, I know you love that.
Very
made to have your skin feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. But smelling good doesn't stop at the shower. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant with Crop Reviver Ball Toner can solve stank problems all day long. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new body buffer. An incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot cleaner than an old loofah. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code K100. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
Well, first of all, Manscaped always has funny ads. And the second thing is it's incredible. And they just keep adding shit because, like, when we first got it, all they gave you was, like, the razor and maybe, like, a conditioner and the briefs, remember? Yeah. And the leather bag. And now they've been adding all this extra stuff, you know.
Yeah, deodorant.
They got nose clipper, deodorant. So, you know, keep yourself clean. Keep yourself groomed. Keep yourself hygienic. And this product works. We all use it. It's a great product. Get your Manscaped. Boom. So you know how I always tell you guys some of the books that I'm reading or I'm about to read?
Mm-hmm.
These are the books that I've read recently. One is on Vader.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I found it somewhere, one of these books that I had laying around and I never read, which was about Frank Gotch. It's pretty interesting. This one on Mexico, which was incredible. Starts from 1910, all the presidents, all the way to like 1996. Very highly recommend that if you like Mexican history. I'll tell you a book that I found that I had never read, was this one, Bill O'Reilly's Killing Patton. And I had no idea what to expect. This was excellent.
Really?
His writing style is incredible. He's not boring. He's not long-winded. Like, sometimes you read a book and you're like, dude, you could have done this in 2,000 words or less. Like, fucking really? I don't need all this data overload.
Yeah.
Book was excellent. Then at the end, what he does is he gives, this is from 2014, he gives his opinion on how he thought Patton got killed, because he doesn't accept the original premise that he got into this accident by mistake, you know, in his car. He thinks Stalin ordered it. But anyways, and if killing Lincoln and Kennedy and the other ones he's done is anything like this, I'm all in. I'm going to get those. This is very well done. Very, very surprised by Bill O'Reilly, of all people.
I heard Killing Lincoln was very good.
Yeah, I'm going to get all of those, bro. Then these are the next ones I'm going to read. You know, the title of this one says it all, Lenin.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you surprised at Bill O'Reilly?
I just didn't think he was that. I had never seen any of his work before. I was like, didn't know what to expect, good or bad.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of those journalists on TV were writers.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to expect.
I didn't, like, bad or good. Right. I just was like, what a pleasant surprise. This guy's very well, like, read. Well, like, he investigated this good.
Bro, that's why those guys made like $4-6 million a year.
Yeah.
To go on TV, because they're just very good at the journalistic aspect, like writing, you know, so that they're good at it. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, they're at top level. That's why, you know, regardless of their politics, they're very skilled.
I didn't even have anything to do with politics, but more with, like, I'd never seen a book from him, didn't know anything he'd written. So when
perfect example. Have you read any Dennis Miller?
No.
Okay, excellent writer.
Right.
But we just look at him as like a TV talk show comedian and stuff. You know, but is an excellent writer. Right. You know, so yeah.
And you can gather that just by his conversation.
Right.
They're highly intelligent.
Yeah. Exactly. So
yeah, I'm very fascinated by Pancho Villa and Emiliano Zapata. So this is a story about them. And then
who's the best writer of, like, your life, like, that you've read, like from a writing aspect?
I don't know. I haven't read.
I used to read a lot of James Patterson novels.
Right.
They're very easy to read. Excellent storytelling, and she's just an excellent writer. And you know what, you got, like, that's made written so many books, bro. I used to be able to read like a James Patterson novel like 5.5 to 6 hours, just start cover to cover, because, like, it's just a very strong, easy read and good, compelling storytelling. You don't want to put it down.
Yeah, you know? I've never read modern shit like, you know, Stephen King or Dennis Miller or whoever's out there.
Stephen King's too much. He's very similar in writing style to what was the guy's name? Kuntz?
Dean Kuntz.
The other guy, like Dean Kuntz. They're all very similar writers. However, Kuntz and Stephen King kind of like make them a lot longer than necessary.
Yeah, this like
you know
the right. Stand.
I, you know, Patterson's the perfect length, like for a writer. You know, the perfect, you know.
You know, I grew up really, to tell you the truth, the only books I grew up with were the ones they'd give you like in school and fucking English literature and shit like that. So, yeah, you know, right? Like Canterbury Tales and Chaucer and
right.
The classics, right? I always liked, I really didn't like any of those authors. They really didn't catch my eye that much, except the guy whoever wrote Catcher in the Fly. But I did.
Salinger.
Catcher in the Rye.
Salinger. Right, yeah.
I was very taken aback at just the words and the prose that Shakespeare used. I thought that guy was fucking genius.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know any modern stuff, you know. And then the other book that I cannot wait to destroy doing is this one. This was an old book I found by Bob Woodward, and it's called Veil, The Secret Wars of the CIA, 1981-87. And I like how Bob Woodward's
the guy that he interviewed Trump,
right? Recorded him, right?
Recorded it, you know. And it almost felt like when
Trump was talking to him, like he didn't give a fuck.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't even.
He didn't even think
this may be used against me in any way someday, or maybe if it is, I don't give a fuck. I don't know. but this was funny. He was not guarded at all at this.
Woodward pointed out, like the Trump had said this to him, and the left had repeated this as like a bad thing.
Right.
Trump was telling Woodward, it's like, you know, like with China and Russia, it's like the tougher I get on them, the more they like me. He says it's a very fascinating thing. It's like it's crazy, you know. It's like I'm tough
and
on them.
And it could be true,
right? Exactly. But he says like this. He goes, let me finish what he said because this is very important. And I was wondering why the left posted this as like this. And Trump was saying, he's like, look, I need to be nice to Putin. You know, the guy's got like 1,300 nukes. Like you know, it's like you gotta. It's like he can't like just be like adversary. He's like he was like saying like his like talking to Woodward does his diplomatic policy, which I've repeated is not bad. It's like, bro, we've our media for years and years and years and years have decided to like, you know, give us adversaries. You know, Russia's an adversary, North Korea's an adversary, and they've kind of like taught the American people and like the way they write and about them and everything that we have to be antagonistic towards them, right? Well, Trump came along and just said, you know, hey, I why not be on nicer terms with our adversaries? You know, let me talk nice about the guy. And they looked at that as like kind of like a like weakness, like because it was not the narrative. But bro, when Trump was being nice to these people, we didn't have like global turmoil or like, you know, like we didn't have like war in Ukraine. We didn't have like, you know, but like that thing that maybe these leaders were just kind of like afraid to like ruin the niceties between the countries. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a bad policy. But like making nice with your adversaries because like the previous people said, okay, these are our adversaries. It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to like antagonize them or talk mean about them. Maybe, what if I said a few nice things about them? And like the people that have said, well, they're our adversaries, they're going to criticize you, but it's like it's going to make us, it's going to put you on better terms. Perfect example. When we, like, in anybody that's worked in clubs, worked in any security protocol, okay, that when you address a situation with a guest and the guy's drunk, he's being abusive to people, he's looking to fight, okay? If you go in there looking to oblige the guy and fight, what might happen? You may have to throw down and fight, but if you go with the protocols like, "Hey, brother, you have," and just try to be nice to the guy, it tones the situation down. And guess what happens? There's usually not a fight. So it's like, you know, that part of like the diplomacy is like, I've never understood why that's been criticized, because like it works when you're nicer with your adversaries. It's a better relationship. As opposed to being having to worry about them all the time, are they going to attack? Are they going to do this? Are they going to, you know, and stuff. So it's kind of weird, you know. So, what do you think about that?
I don't know. It's a weird situation, Disco, because I 100% agree with you, you know, especially now that I'm older.
For example, you and Vamp.
Right.
Had an adversarial relationship for years and years and years and years. And at some point he says, like, you know what? What's the point? I'm just going to be nice to the guy. And you guys, is your relationship better? Like, do you like your relationship with Vampiro when you guys are on better terms or on worse terms?
Yeah, on better terms.
Right. So it's like, and it's not, you know, but like your fans would sit there and say, like, well, how could you be nice to Vamp? And so it's like, because it's better when I am nice to him.
Here's the other thing. People expect you to be mad at somebody forever. Like, you've never in your life been mad at somebody and made up ever.
Right.
So why can't I? Yeah. Why can't – and people change, bro. That's just it. You know, just people change. He was very immature. I was immature. You know, he's still crazy. I mean, that's not going to change.
Yeah.
But he's at least more cognizant and more responsible, and that's all I ask from him. You know, like, he literally – bro, is one of the biggest rebels I've ever met. And, you know, he would come to work when he wanted to, and he'd do what he wanted to, and he'd go into business for himself. And you can't work with people like that.
Perfect example.
Right.
When Vamp had stroke, when you have stroke, you can be difficult.
Right.
You know, you can get what you want.
You can be a diva.
But, bro, like, when Vamp gets older stuff, when your options run out, it's like, I kind of got to play the game and be nice to people now. Because I don't have anywhere else to go. It's like, I've exhausted. Like, I'm old. If I want to work.
And, bro, he's very lucky.
Right.
He's very lucky because he is looked in. He is looked in Mexico as a legend.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like,
he is.
Like, as a shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember, like, you know, from reading the, you know, when I was breaking in the business.
Right.
You know, 92, 91, everything. Right. You know, before, like some guys would bring the.
He was huge, bro. He was just insane.
Like
a guy,
when I go train at the training, when I train to wrestle, right? There'd be a guy there that have the observer, the torch, and I'd read it and stuff. And the other. But then I started, like, getting tapes. And, like, looked, it's like, you know, like, I'd get Mexican tapes. I see, like, you know, like, this guy, this Vampiro guy, wow, he's really over huge. You know, it's like, every time I, like, looked at tapes, you guys, like, back in the early 90s, you know, the places were, like, always sold out.
Yep.
You know, the crowd. People so it's like, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's like, you know, you just look and see, like, bro, the guy was over at a time when wrestling was over huge. And they the fans never really forget
and
that.
And he got over, you know. Yeah. That's not easy to do in a country you didn't even speak the fucking language.
Right.
You know, but
that was the first of, like, back then it was like, you know, wrestlers had a specific look.
Right.
But then, like, the 90s came, and all of a sudden you get some of these millennials coming. It's like, bro, the guy had tattoos.
Yeah, everybody looks the same, everybody does the same move.
But this guy had, like, a really cool look and, like, you know, stuff like that rebel type look that, like, you know, back then. Bro, the girls thought that was really hot. You know, guys were all tatted up, and, like, because there weren't a lot of them. You know, you, like, stuck out. You were, like, you know, so then that's, you know, he hit that mark. You did too. You know, you looked different, you know.
But I don't know how we got from Russia to here, but we did. But I did want to say this. When I noticed Russian history, and this is the big thing that maybe a lot of people don't know or understand, but read up on it. You know, Russia's always been adversarial with us, and obviously it served its purpose. You know, I remember one of the things that John F. Kennedy says, I'll never trust those goddamn generals again, because they had fudged the numbers. So this guy would spend all this shitload of money on defense, and they could hook up their friend, defense contractors, and, you know.
Still goes on today.
Huh?
Still, that philosophy still goes on
today. Right. So the Russians have always been adversarial with us there. You know, they tried to get to the moon before us. They tried to get a bomb before us. They tried to fucking, you know, bum rush Germany before us. There's always been an adversarial thing. Even Patton said, I don't ever trust the Russians. That was one of the problems he had with Eisenhower. But anyways, the Russians, the problem with them is that like you said, you have to be tough with them because that's the only thing they understand. The only thing power respects is power. You're not going to go to the Chinese premier with some weak shit. He's going to tell you to go fuck yourself, just like the guy from Saudi Arabia, you know?
Right.
Like, these guys, they don't understand, you know, being powerful. And Russia's always been a thorn in the United States side. Bro, remember when they had that nuclear? That's very ballsy. When they put nuclear weapons on Cuba, right?
Right.
90 miles away from Key West, Florida. And even though Kennedy said, hey, get that shit out of here, shit's on, and they did it, they made the secret deal with the United States, where the United States, I believe, would get out of Turkey or something, or take right. jets out of Turkey, but it never came out in the newspaper so the U.S. wouldn't look bad. But the Russians always seem to get one over on us when we try to be friends with them, when we try to be nice. Historically, bro, from Khrushchev to fucking everybody, and Putin's old school. You know, doesn't trust the Americans.
I think he was the director of the KGB, wasn't he?
Right. He doesn't trust the Americans. He comes from that mindset that it's us against them. You know, he comes from the mindset that, you know, the Soviets should be the world leaders and not the United States. You know, that's his mindset.
He's like a James Bond mark.
He's a nationalistic, take my shirt off, Mother Russia.
Well, he's a James, like I read somewhere, I forgot where I read that he's like a James Bond mark.
He might be.
Because, like, you know, like all that, yo.
Right. Who wouldn't? If you're a spy, who would it be a James Bond mark?
Right. Exactly. So,
but I just think that every time that the United States has acquiesced, and he was also very mad because he thinks that, you know, the United States has a lot to do with Ukraine splitting away from Russia and the problems in Crimea and internal politics in Russia. Nothing that Russia doesn't do to them, we don't do to them. You know, it's like the Republicans and Democrats always complaining.
But here is the difference, and this is where you have to, like, you know, our media and our narratives and stuff, and you know, portray it differently. But like, we look at what happened when Putin put, you know, missiles on in Cuba.
Right.
Right. So, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's like right on our doorstep. You know, yeah. Okay. So Putin viewed, and then this is the thing. We have our worldview, but we don't allow our media to like consume Russian networks. Like we block Russian networks from coming into our like we can't watch the Russian news. You have to watch it like through Al Jazeera if they're showing clips of it and stuff. You have to watch through these other sites, right? And that to me is weird. You know, because then we say, oh, it's Russian propaganda. Like, you're just assuming that everything they're saying is a lie and we don't want our side to hear it. But it's just, you can't ignore this. Bro, we're part of NATO, okay? NATO countries, like, kind of border Russia. It's, like, literally the same scenario as, like, you know, like what if Putin and, like, Mexico elected a communist, right? And he became friends with Russia. And they started trading with Russia and stuff. And then Russia decided, okay, we're going to put a military base next to Tijuana. Like, what would we think? You know, we'd be like, wait a second. This is like an escalation. This is antagonistic. This is like, you know, something. But that's how they look at us, as being part of NATO. You're literally like, you're bordered by countries. We don't have any borders with any adversaries. The United States is in a very easy position like that. Mexico's friendly. Canada's friendly. We have good relations. But, bro, it's like, you know, Russia is bordered by land to like a bunch of European countries, and they're part of an organization that the United States funds with massive amounts of money that are like right on Russia's doorstep.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but like I said, it's an adversarial relationship, a one man's upship, a lot of political stroking, a lot of posturing, you know. But
right.
China and Russia definitely are. Russia's not an economic threat whatsoever.
The economy's not good.
It's a military threat. But China's the big one, because we went in there and we fucked them over a million times and dissed them a million times. And now they're like, okay, we're in the top spot and you're about to eat some shit.
Mm. Right. But Putin's taking his shirt off and thumping his chest and attacking. But China's like the sneaky adversary.
That's the real adversary, yeah.
Right. They're putting spyware in our phones and like people trying to get data from people.
You know, we're doing the same, but
like they're like the sneaky cyber war. You know, they're like quite, and they're acting like they're our friends. They're letting us buy a bunch of their stuff because they have cheap labor over there. We can, you know, they're letting our companies post up and open up shop there and everything. But it's like, but they're doing this because they're trying to like gain an advantage on us.
I don't understand why. You know, you can't send a delegation over there and just say, hey, look, we've been at odds for years. I know we did some shit that was fucked up. That was past administrations. We have a different mindset. What can we do for you? And what can you do for us that can help the whole world and help each other's nations not be at each other's throats, not threatening each other, respect each other, you know, like. Well, can we have a better relationship, dude? Or do we just got to keep throwing shit back and forth?
This is where our relationship fundamentally deteriorates, is that, you know, even though it's changing and they're putting the clamps on people, like with free speech and everything, we're still looked at like as a country that gives people a lot of freedom.
Right.
And these other countries do not.
Right.
And it's a very fundamental difference that we have, that our values are like, they think people should be controlled and we think people should have more freedom. You know, so it's like we're going to philosophically differ with Russia and China and stuff on issues like this. And that's like basically a human rights issue, because the people that live in each country, regardless of the politicians, the people in charge, they're going to have different views on life. You know, they're like the people. I think one of the reasons that we have an adversarial position to Russia and China is that they don't want, like, their people that live with that live under their rule, they don't want them to value Western values and want more freedom and stuff. They don't want us to want them to like the United States and want to be like the United States. They want them to be like them and be just, you know, subversive, you know, just you know, not have a lot of freedom and stuff, and then like run like a police state. But it's like that's where the fundamental difference between our countries lie, is that they don't want their people being free like ours are, you know. So, and it's weird. So I don't know. Joe, if you were going to give us some suggestions for K100 talks, what would you have said would be our
diesel shortage? Paul Pelosi. What else is going on? That's all I got off the top of my head.
The diesel. Cody, you want to talk about the diesel shortage?
We have 25 days left of diesel left. You know what happens when we run out of diesel? No trucks run, no food gets to us. No, that's a pretty big deal.
No, it's good. They're going to have to start pumping or buying from somebody else.
Yeah,
or
well, the shortage is because we're not accepting Russian oil or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
We put sanctions on Russia, and when they started the war, and our gas prices went through the roof. How about that?
Yeah.
It's like, who are we sanctioning? Like, who is sanctioning who? That's another thing Putin did. He leveraged our the way we were trying to – go towards green energy, and he leveraged that against us.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but he's waging a very unpopular war.